Welcome back to Tri-States After the Buzzer, part of the Dubuque Area Sports Podcasting Network. As always, this is everybody's favorite coach, Coach Manaman, and this season of basketball coverage would not be possible if it was not for our great local sponsors, Nolan Weber Insurance through American Family Insurance, Extreme Strength and Sports Performance, Tricor Insurance Company, Kramer Pest Control, Bar Raising Fitness, Foley Distributing, and Advance Wellness Center. If you are not following us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Dubuque Area Sports Podcast. You can find me on X at Coach Manaman. If you are a podcast person, like, subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts can be heard. Now stick around as we hear from one of our great local sponsors, and then we welcome in our guest. Nolan Weber Insurance through American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor. Contact Nolan or a member of his crew at 563-258-5467 to request a quote. You can also find this highly reviewed agent on Facebook by searching Nolan Weber Insurance. Joining us via the Nolan Weber Agency through American Family Insurance Hotline is Wallert Catholic head coach Tom English. Coach English, welcome to Tri-States After the Buzzer.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me on. Happy to be here and promote local high school basketball and the Wallert Golden Eagles.
We're excited to have you on. It has been years, Tom. I can remember going to games as a high school kid and you were the coach, and now I have an eighth grader myself. How long have you been with the Wallert Catholic program?
Well, I've been with the program itself for about 30 years, maybe 29 years. I started as an assistant in the 93-94 season. I was assistant for 9 or 10 years, and then this was my 20th year as head coach. So kind of a milestone number. It just makes me feel a little bit old. Hearing you say you're watching me in high school really makes me feel old. So thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
You know, they say if you've been at it for a long time, you must be doing something right. So it's great that you've been at it for 29 or 30 years. Now, Tom, I'm curious, because you have been doing this for a long time. Are you a Dubuque area person, or were you a transplant that came from somewhere else?
I'm kind of from the suburbs. I'm out from Dyersville. Went to Dyersville Beckman and was a mid-80s student athlete out there. And so went to college at the University of Iowa and ended up coming back to the area. Landed up Wallert. I've loved it. I started out as a science teacher and eventually was dean of students and then athletic director. And I've been athletic director, I think, 17 years, 18 years, something like that. It's just been, I've been blessed to be here and find a spot that I really love. And it's kind of rare these days for people to stay at one job for this long, so I'm kind of an anomaly, but I love it here. It's like my second home and they're my second family, so really enjoy it.
It is, and you look at everything that comes with coaching now, and you look at some of the local programs. When I started coaching, there was never a varsity job open in any sport, and now it seems there are constantly, and you know this from being an athletic director, there are constantly varsity positions open because we know we have kids, we know we have families. But Tom, I know it's going to be hard to pinpoint a few, but I'm sure there's some things that stand out to you. Looking at your coaching career and your 29 years at Wallert, what are some of the highlights that you look back that you're most proud of?
Well, it's hard to not put the state championships up there. I mean, the sport and this profession is a lot more than winning. It's a lot more than championships and hanging banners. But when I say the state championships, we were fortunate enough to win them in 2008 and then 2014, 2015. when I say the championship, it's not even just the championship itself, but the experience that those kids were able to have and being a part of that. It's just a phenomenal experience to go to Des Moines for nearly a week and play in Wells Fargo Arena against some of the greatest competition with some of the best fans around packing the place. And it was just so much fun, and it brought a lot of joy to us coaches to see our players get to experience the not only the thrill of it, but the intensity of it and the ups and downs that come with a week trying to win a championship. And again, we're proud of that as a program. We have great kids, obviously, that were able to earn those championships. So that's definitely high on the list. But it goes deeper than that, Nick. You look at a lot of the little things that you just – things that – relationships that you form. When players come back after they've graduated 15, 20 years ago, and they come to games, and then they'll stop down the coach's office to chat about the game and to chat about old times, that really is something that is gratifying for a coach. And you know, that doesn't show up on any kind of record board or anything like that, but those are some of the little moments that I'll remember long after I'm gone from coaching.
You're exactly right. I just got invited to a wedding of a former player a couple weeks ago. Always exciting to see that you made that type of impact. How many state championships do you have, Tom, with your time at Wallert?
We have three championships, and we were in a fourth title game and lost to Xavier, so one runner-up.
I was going to guess three. I was pretty sure it was three, but I didn't want to say the wrong number and have to edit that out. And how about that Eric May shot? I remember seeing that all across the news. That made national news.
Yeah, if you'd have to say one memory, one moment in my coaching career that stands out, it's clearly that. That was just a phenomenal end to a game. And you talk about collectively our hearts going from the bottom of the depths of what you can imagine after we turn the ball over and give them a layup to tie the game. And then we, luckily enough, to get a timeout with 2 seconds left, and Billy Scherer throws about a 65-foot pass on the money. Eric May comes off a pick, catches it, pivots, shoots a 35-footer and swishes it. I mean, it's frozen in time. It's a moment you'll never forget if you saw that.
Just how you drew it up, right, Coach?
You know, it actually was. It worked out perfect. it took a little bit in the timeout because there was a lot of distraught kids the way that play ended that resulted in them tying it up. So it took a little bit to get their focus enough to draw something up and have them focus enough to run it. But they did. So credit to the kids. They pulled it off.
I see a lot of emphasis on body language now, and it's great your kids kept their composure and kept that body language positive to hit that shot. Coach, I hear people say this all the time. I know it's true from my years in coaching. You are only as good as your coaching staff. So plug the coaches on the staff, and what kind of impact do they have to you and then also the kids in the program as well?
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity because, as you well know, Nick, as a coach, you can't do it without really surrounding yourself with really, really good people. And I've been so fortunate to have great coaches, and they're not just really, really good with X and O's and skill work and those sorts of things. They're just great human beings and really good role models. Brett Meyer has been with me, other than the first year, he's been my assistant coach for the next 18, I guess. So he's been my assistant for 18 years. Greg Burbach has helped out two different blocks of time, and he's in the middle of that second stint right now. And those two guys are just phenomenal. Brent's a teacher, and Greg's an alum of Wallert and was a really good player when he was here. So it's just a really good combination. And then our sophomore staff, Matt Walker, Tim Erman, and Dan Mulligan, three guys who have been around a long time. We've had very little turnover in our staff. We're kind of like a family. And those are, again, three top-notch guys who try to get every ounce out of the kids and yet do it the right way and have kids' best interests in mind. And then Damon George, our freshman coach, he's been with us a few years, played at Morris, is just a really good teacher of the game. He works out with our guys across the program. So it's just a really good combo, a lot of veterans, but also some youth infused in there as well. And I really credit them for a lot of the success that we've had in this program, for sure.
I would agree that you think of Wallard and you think of the basketball programs, you think of the state championships, and yeah, you do have to have a staff that really works together as one, and you can trust that person. Coach, I'm curious. So I'm new to the basketball realm. I've done a baseball podcast for years, had a great success with football. I'm looking at your roster right now, and the Golden Eagles are having to replace their top six leading scorers from a year ago. I'm assuming there's no returning all-conference players or all-district or all-state players, correct?
You are correct. This is an entirely new group. We had a ton of seniors last year, and you're right. We return very little statistical support to this lineup. So we're basically starting from scratch with inexperienced seniors and a bunch of juniors.
Tell us about them. I'm sure here early November, you probably maybe in your mind have a starting lineup or maybe have some combinations that you're thinking of going with. But who are we going to see on the floor a lot for the Eagles this year? And what can you tell us about their game?
Okay, we'll start with a couple seniors who I am confident are going to be leading this lineup. And first one's Charlie Becker. Charlie played off the bench last year. He's about a 6'4", 3'4 man. Can really jump. He's athletic. He's gotten a lot stronger. He's come a long way as a shooter, and he's a ferocious rebounder. That's what we really need out of him. We're not going to be real big, so our 6'4 guys need to play big, and he will do that. So he'll be a versatile kind of inside-outside guy. Spencer Comer, he was on the cusp of playing last year, so he played a lot with our rotation in practice, just didn't see a lot of game time. He's probably going to be our point guard, 6 foot tall. Again, working on his shot has come a long way with that. But more of the floor general, he's going to try to get the ball to our scorers, going to try to take care of the ball, get us in our stuff. He was our quarterback for football, so I think that really gained him some confidence, and he's got some leadership skills that maybe we wouldn't have thought of a year ago. So those two guys are guys that I really expect a lot from the senior class. And dipping into the junior class for a few guys, Ethan Meyer, he played with us a little bit as a sophomore last year. He was in and out of the lineup as a bench player. Really good shooter, lefty, he's long. We're expecting big things from him in hopes that he can blossom really early this junior year, because he's gonna need to be a scorer for us. Owen McCleary, 6'2"-ish, a shooter, really good shooter. He's an aggressive kid. He can get inside, just needs to get a little bit better finishing in there. But he's just one of those kids who finds a way to score, has a nose for the ball. He's aggressive, was one of the leading scorers, if not the leading scorer last year for the sophomore team. And then Will Richardson, he's a 6'6", 4'5", man. He'll play a little bit, just back to the basket. He'll face the basket some. He can shoot threes, a little bit like Duke Staley last year in that he can do it inside and outside. He's not quite that strong, doesn't have that body yet, but good shot blocker. I think his length will help. So, you know, if you look at our lineup, we've got some length, 6'4", 6'6", 6'6", that type of kid. So we're not physically real strong, but we can work with that. And I think we can become a good defensive team eventually. Got a long ways to go, but that length really helps. So those are kind of the core five or six guys that I expect to see a lot of time on the court.
Being the head of the program, Coach English, you don't just focus on one team. You just don't focus on the varsity squad, but you got a plethora of kids in the program from your sophomore team and your freshman team as well. Are there any guys that you think might have a promising varsity career, but we're not going to see up at the varsity level this year? Maybe they're in a position gridlock, or maybe they're just physically not strong enough or have enough muscle on their bodies yet. But who are some of the top players in the program that you and I will be talking about in 2 or 3 years as those all-conference or all-state players?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. I'll give you a couple from the sophomore class, a couple from the freshman class, but I'll start with the caveat that, as you know, there's going to be sleepers. There's going to be kids that aren't mentioned today who in 2 or 3 years we could say, boy, they've become a really nice varsity player. So that's the this comment I need to start with. But if you look at our sophomore class, I expect our best couple of players to maybe be Connor Walsh and Brandon Comer. Walsh is a brother of a kid who graduated from us last year, Quinn Walsh, and he's going to be pretty long, and he can shoot the ball, and he can drive it. He just needs to get a little stronger and a little more athletic to catch up to the varsity level, body. And then Brandon Comer is a sophomore guard, also a good baseball player. He hurt his shoulder in the state baseball tournament, so he's a little bit behind. Didn't get to do quite as much this summer as he'd like, but just a strong, tough kid, all-around athlete, good perimeter player. He handles the ball, he can shoot it. So I expect those two kind of to lead that sophomore team. And if I look down at the freshman level, I still got a couple really good guards who we're looking forward to developing over the next couple of years, Peter Wedewer and J.P. Albert. Both can really handle it. In fact, they're probably some of the best ball handlers in our program. They're just not big enough yet to get up to the varsity level. Could they move up a level? Perhaps. But they're both really good ball handlers, and they can both shoot it, and they work really hard at their game. So I expect them to keep growing both physically and skill-wise to become pretty good players. So, again, there's more than that, but those are four that come to mind from those two classes that I think I'm looking forward to seeing over the years.
We're excited, and Coach Tischer, I'm sure, talked to you about this, Brandon. Brandon, when you slide into home plate, slide feet first. You don't want to get spiked, but slide feet first, Brandon, if I can tell you one thing, being a former baseball coach.
Absolutely. You learn that the hard way. You watch enough Major League Baseball, and they're doing the same thing, and they're belly flopping, and you see some of the same issues. But, yeah, luckily, I think he avoided it could have been a lot worse and have to have surgery, so we're happy about that.
You know, once he gets up to the varsity level, you know he's not going to be phased. He did have a lot of great starts on the mound for the Eagles as a freshman. Coach, last year you were 13-11 overall, 8-6 on the Mississippi Division side of the always tough Mississippi Valley Conference. You have to replace a lot. Your top six leading scorers are not coming back. The guys who got a little bit of experience last year, or maybe the guys coming up from the sophomore team, what did you see in them last year that went really well that you're excited to build upon this year?
I think it's a group that they might not look the prettiest all the time because we had our issues at the sophomore level last year, turning the ball over. And luckily that's something that I think we can fix, but they found ways to put a lot of points on the board most nights. You'd look up at the scoreboard, you'd watch the first half, and you'd see quite a few turnovers, and you look up at halftime, and they have 38 points, and you wonder, how'd they do that? But they have guys that they found ways to score, and when you throw a couple of seniors or a few seniors in there that were able to play against clearly really good competition last year every day in practice, I think it's a combination that eventually, once we meld together a little bit offensively and learn our motion and learn each other's habits and trends and tendencies, I think we'll be a pretty good offensive team eventually. That's what I really like so far out of this group. And they play well together. They like each other. They get along. So I think the chemistry will be good. I like our lengths, even though we're not big and strong inside. I like having some pretty long wing players, and I think we've got that. I think we can push the ball and play the pace we like and get the ball up the court. So those are the things I'm really excited about with this group.
We talked about some things you're excited about. I know as a coach there were things that coming into day one I knew we were going to be good at, but I also knew where there were some things where we needed to hit hard on day one. We really had to make some improvements. We've alluded to it a little bit earlier, but what might be some early struggles out of the gate and some things that you feel this team really needs to improve on before we play our first game?
That's always easier to answer. You know how coaches are. We can see the negatives a lot easier than we see the positives sometimes. So, yeah, the first thing is rebounding. I talked about Charlie Becker, and I think he's going to be a really good rebounder. I need to find three or four other really good rebounders, and I'm not sure we're there yet. Part of it's physicality and playing so many young guys, their bodies just aren't quite as developed yet. And part of it is the skill of rebounding and knowing where the ball's coming off the rim and knowing how to position your body and block out and do all the very fundamental things that make good rebounders. So that's one big one early. Another big one is going to be our team defense. I thought our sophomore group last year struggled defensively. We just talked about how they were able to put points on the board. Unfortunately, they gave up a fair amount as well. So, again, they've got it in them, and we love to teach defense, so I think that will come with a few growing pains, of course. And the third thing, I think, is being able to score in many ways, because right now we get a little too reliant sometimes on our perimeter shooting, because pretty much everybody who steps in the court for us is a capable shooter. You know, we've got two or three what I would call really good shooters, and then three or four guys that are going to be that next wave of our competent shooters. So we sometimes rely on that more than we should, particularly in situations like open gyms and summer workouts and things when you're not necessarily running your stuff. But we need to be able to get to the hole and finish. We need to be able to score with our back to the baskets. We need to be able to get to the free throw line. We need putbacks off the glass and those sorts of things. If you can add that, get paint points and balance that shot chart out, that's going to go a long way in your offensive efficiency. So those are probably the three of the key things that we need to work on early. Again, it's going to be a steep growth curve with such an inexperienced team. So I think we're going to see a lot of two steps forward, one step back type of thing. But our goal in this program is always to peak in February, no matter what. And we've done a pretty good job at that, and that's the goal again this year. You know, we may need to take a lump here and there, and how will we bounce back from that? How will this inexperienced group, you know, handle adversity when it inevitably rears its head? And the goal is by February, a lot of those deficiencies have turned into strengths, and hopefully we're ready to roll into postseason.
Coach, before we hear that buzzer that ends the podcast here, we're going to hit that walk away three off first. What are your expectations for the Eagles coming this year? You talked about how there's going to be some growing pains. You talked about how you're going to see some growth and you want to be playing the best basketball come February. What are your expectations for the Eagles this year?
Well, we try to break it down as simple as we can. The first expectation is we get better every week. I really could say every drill and every day, but if we take a look on the weekend of every week and say, are we better than we were a week ago? Are we better as individuals, skill-wise? Are we better as a team and what we're able to do and accomplish as a team? And I don't just mean wins, but able to run our stuff and accomplish what we want to that way. That's the first thing, because if we do that, if we can look in the mirror most weekends and say, okay, we got better this week and we improved in most of these areas, then I think you'll see a much better finished product by February. So that's the first expectation. The expectation for me is every day in practice, these kids outwork everybody else because we don't have a choice. This is going to sound like a little, woe is me mentality, but we're a pretty small school in this conference. You know, we have 450 kids. Most of the schools we're up against are between 1,500 and 2,000 kids. So we have to outwork everybody. We don't have the bodies that most of our conference opponents have. So I expect every day our kids to come in and really bust their tails to get better. And I think as long as they're doing that, we're going to see that growth curve where we want it. And my expectation is that come February, we're a pretty tough out in 3A. We typically have fared well in the postseason, although this last few years we're in a bit of a stretch where we get to that district or sub-state final, I should say, the game to go to state, and we're typically up against an Assumption or Xavier, and it's a battle to the very bitter end, and my expectation is we get over the hump this year, and, you know, we're the ones with the win at the end of that game, so we can get back to Wells Fargo.
Coach English, this was a lot of fun. We should do this again next year.
Hey, I'll be happy to, Nick, anytime.
Thanks for joining us on Tri-States After the Buzzer. Best of luck to you, your players, your program, and your fans, and the Wallert Golden Eagle community on this upcoming 2023-2024 season.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me, Nick.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Tri-States After the Buzzer, part of the Dubuque Area Sports Podcasting Network. If you have not already, give us a follow on social media, Facebook and Instagram, Dubuque Area Sports Podcast, and don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify.